Barnabas actually means, translated, son of encouragement or son of consolation. Bar means son, Simon Bar Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. Bar, Nabas, actually could be translated a prophet or the spirit of prophecy. He is the son of encouragement and consolation, is literally what his name means. And he was able, because of this gift, he was able to connect with people one-on-one. He could put his arm on someone's shoulder and say, "Hey, bud, how's it going, man? Tell me what's going on in your life." And the next thing you know, man, their spirits would be connecting. They would just be knit together with one heart. He was, rather than tearing people down, he had the gift and ability to build them up and nurture them and minister to them, to love them and accept them in spite of their faults and flaws. Whereas other people would be talking and saying, "You know, man, Demetrius, man, he just drives me right up a wall, up one side and down the other. Man, that guy needs to get a clue. I can't get over it. Every time I start hanging around Demetrius, next thing I know, I'm just, you know, like, I'm frustrated. I just want to go smack somebody. When is he going to get it together?" Barnabas would say, "Oh, praise God. Let me meet this guy." And he would begin to sit down, connect with him, talk to him, listen to him, gain understanding, and then listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead him as he spoke. And he had amazing results. Praise God. A couple examples. When Saul first got saved, Saul was a fierce persecutor of the church. I mean, he was sending men and women to death by the multitudes. Feared. People were scared to death of Saul. Suddenly Saul got saved. But nobody believed it. Saul's like, "Hey, I'm saved. Well, they didn't call them Christians then, but basically, "I'm a Christian now. Let me come to your church." And they're like, "I don't think so. You ain't even going to find our church." It says right in Scripture, he went to join up with the disciples, and the disciples were afraid of him. They weren't even sure he was saved. Well, old Barnabas said, "Oh, man," rolls up the sleeves. That's a call for Barnabas. So he went out and got Saul, put his arm around him, brought him to the disciples and said, "Look, buddies, this guy is harmless. He's one of us. Take him in. Accept him. Love on him." And he saw past all those things in Saul's past. He saw past his past. Isn't it awesome to know people who can see past your past and love you, just love you unconditionally, and just delight in being able to hang out with you and spend time with you genuinely from their heart? Man, that's a friend that's priceless. Another situation, there was a guy named John Mark. When Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey and John Mark went with them, and later on he got discouraged and maybe scared, hung it all up and left them and decided to go home. Next missionary journey that came around, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them because he figured he got his act together. And Paul said, "No way, buddy. That guy bailed on us the last time. He's not going this time. Forget about it." Barnabas tried to make the case, but Paul wouldn't have it. So Barnabas said, "That's okay, brother. You go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and take John Mark. We're going to go down this other place. I'm going to take him back to my hometown, Cyprus, and we're going to do some preaching down there." And took John Mark with them. Saw past his mistakes, saw past his shortcomings, and said, "Brother, come on, we're going to make this happen this time around. Dust yourself off, forget the past, press forward. We're going to make it happen this time." And he invested himself in John Mark. Next thing you know, John Mark is writing one of the Gospels, and Paul is writing a letter to somebody else saying, "Hey, bring him with you because he's valuable to me in the ministry." Because of Barnabas. Because he had that gift of encouragement. He could see past his past and believe in his future. Love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And in this passage, he goes to get Saul from Tarsus because he's hiding in Tarsus because a bunch of people tried to kill him the last time he went around preaching. And he said, "Saul, man, come on with me. We're gonna have a little training seminar here over in Antioch. We're gonna get you grounded in the new gospel, and we're gonna get you set up." And so he goes and brings him to Antioch for some training and leadership. Praise God. And when Barnabas first gets to Antioch, to give you another example, I mean, it's just over and over and over here. rather than coming in, you know, because he came from Jerusalem where everything was like, you know, they had a bunch of Jews there and everything was kind of, you know, in order and decent and everything. He comes to these Gentiles, and rather than coming in like a drill sergeant and saying, okay, you guys, first of all, you got to get circumcised, then you got to start obeying these dietary laws, you got to start toeing the line, you got to start, you know, put off all your old friends, you got to really, you know, you better buckle up, bucko. Instead, he just comes and rejoices with them over their salvation. And he encourages them and says, man, this is so cool. I'm so excited for you guys. And you know, these Gentiles, when they first got saved, I mean, they had a lot of growing to do. Yes, they were genuinely born again. Yes, there was probably a big change in their life. But you know what? They probably still had a lot of things that had not yet been renewed. I don't know what kind of profanity was back in the day. Maybe once in a while they used some words that to people in Antioch, you know, probably were, you know, like words that you really ought not to be using. Maybe they still, you know, I don't know, had things to work out. You know, when you've been a pagan all your life, you got a lot of issues you got to get over. And so, you know, rather than being bogged down with all that stuff and say, man, you guys, you got saved. Are you kidding? He just reached out and loved on them, man, encouraged them and said, man, it's all right. Well, yeah, we got our work cut out, but brother, I'm with you in this thing. And he casts a vision for them. As it says, verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, encouraged them all with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And that encouragement is so powerful. It's, you know, basically, I think that when he started encouraging these brothers, man, they went and told their old buddies and stuff, their old partying buddies, man, you should see what I'm into now. This guy Jesus saved me, and this guy Barnabas, boy, he's a friend of friends. I mean, you wouldn't believe. He doesn't condemn me. He doesn't put me down. He just encourages me. Next thing you know, more people are saved. Their buddies start coming to check it out. They want to find out what has gone on with this guy's life. And they get saved, and Barnabas encourages them. And the church begins to explode in the middle of a culture that was anything but godly. Does that give you some encouragement? Does that make you want to go, even if you don't have a beard? Praise God. Encouragement is such a powerful force for the kingdom of God. You know what the Holy Spirit's name is? Jesus says, I'm going to send thee Comforter, the paraclete. That's another word. The root of that is another word for the word encouragement. That's why Barnabas was an encourager. He was filled with the Comforter. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. It exuded from him. He dripped with encouragement. And you know what? You don't have to be a dynamic preacher to have a powerful impact for the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Serious up. You don't have to be Billy Graham or something like that. All you have to do is cultivate a sense of encouragement and a heart that's willing to reach out to people one-on-one and just hang out with folks. Are you? Do you think you can hang out with folks? Yeah. Praise God, man. Hanging all over the place, man. Yeah, I was hanging there last night. Ran into so-and-so. We just hung together. Praise God. It's amazing what an impact. And if I could just share a personal testimony, you know, preachers like to hope that when they preach, it'll have a big impact. You know, we want people to be touched by the Word of God. We really do. You know, and we just yearn for that. And part of that may be very spiritual, and part of that may be very carnal. You know, I mean, let's be real here. You know, even musicians, when they get up there, they're, oh, I want the multitudes to really love my music because I love them so much. And, well, yeah, partly that maybe, and partly because, you know, you just want to be really great and stuff. And I would love to think that somebody gets something out of what I say every week on Sunday morning, that somebody, you know, touches somebody or has some kind of impact somewhere, and maybe it does, but you know what amazes me? What absolutely, because I will get up and preach my guts out sometimes. I mean, preach my lungs out, Jim, and you know, give an invitation in the end, and the basic response is, so what are we having for at the fellowship hall again? Is there crackers and cheese? And I'll be like, you know, man. But there are other days when I am just not feeling all that spiritual. I'm just, you know, it's just Tuesday morning or, you know, Wednesday afternoon or some kind of deal. And someone will call up and want to spend some time. I'm like, yeah, come on out. Let's hang out together. And I'll, you know, fix a cup of coffee and we'll sit down in my office and we'll just hang out and we'll just talk. And to my amazement, God begins to do profound things. I mean, it's happened over and over and over and over. I don't even know why I bother to preach anymore. I just schedule people to come in and hang out for a while. I mean, it's amazing. And I have, in my office, I have wept with people so deeply and profoundly that I was afraid the water was going to wash us all down the hall as God began to unlock the doors of their heart and they began to deal with deep issues that they have had locked up for years, and God would come in and just wash them out and give them understanding, and they would be able to get a hold of some of these things that were making their life completely dysfunctional. And I've been able to see them in those moments literally be transformed and see the fruit, the lasting fruit afterwards of God giving them victory in their life. Because we took a couple of minutes to just hang out and talk. And as the Holy Spirit led to give a word of encouragement here and there. I stand in awe of the power of our God in that moment of intimacy. And you don't have to be some educated great orator or preacher to do that. You just got to love folks and be willing to hang out and spend a little time. And it's amazing what God can do in those moments. Praise God. So number one, he had the gift of encouragement. Number two, he was willing to put others ahead of himself. He was willing to turn the clock off for a minute and get off the merry-go-round of his schedule or his agenda or his conveniences and put others ahead of himself. Going back to Acts chapter 4, the first time we meet Barnabas in Scripture, back right before Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 4:37, it says about Barnabas, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, the reason why he was doing that was because in Jerusalem at that time was a bunch of Christians who were just destitute. They had left their homes and everything to hang out in Jerusalem and hear the gospel and grow as part of the church of Jesus Christ. And they didn't have jobs, or some of the people that had jobs that lived in Jerusalem because they followed Christ were fired or let go or ostracized, thrown out of the synagogue. And there were a lot of poor folks. And so some of the believers who had land and wealth sold their land and laid it, literally, I mean, came down as an act of worship to God, laid it at the apostles' feet and said, here is my wealth. Do with it as you will. Whatever needs are out there, make sure it gets to the people who need the money. Now, I think of myself as somewhat generous. I try to, give a little here and there. But dude, they sold land and simply gave it. I mean, like if you can imagine selling an acre or half of land in Royal Oak or something, and then just coming to the leadership and saying, is there anybody that has a need? I've got, $300,000 here. Just, if somebody has a need, just, distribute it. I wouldn't even know what to do with that kind of money. But these guys, Barnabas just took it and laid it at their feet.